So, welcome to episode 2 of the Moving Forward podcast with me, Caleb McClelland, and we have another very special guest, a very close friend of mine for week 2, episode 2, and that is Mr. Sam Blight.
Hi, everyone.
So, Sam is a student at UCLan University, studying journalism, and just like last time, and just like the whole podcast, we are going to talk about his experiences, his ambitions, and just about anything that you want to talk about. This is a young person's podcast, remember, so... Let's start off with your course, Sam, journalism. So what has made you want to get into this field? Because journalism has a lot of things going for it, I'm aware. So,
well, I'll admit, I didn't really want to do journalism going back like even 2 years. It was only really after I went for an open event and I saw myself on camera. And then I would say that I'm quite... a talkative, outgoing person. So
yeah.
I feel like that element, it's sort of that element of journalism really connected to me. And it's sort of a way that I can sort of put myself into and do what I love.
Mm. I mean, I remember when we went to an open day together, actually. Remember that one in front of the camera, and it was, everybody's their own biggest critic. So how do you sort of deal with seeing yourself in front of the camera and knowing that other people are listening to you? Because that can be a bit jarring sometimes.
Well, it is a bit, I get where you come from, the great thing. I feel like every time I always like watch back something, I always think about, you know, what can I do to improve next time? Like, but yeah, we had an assignment where we were doing like a proper like news day, and I was one of the presenters on it. And I feel like I didn't really sort of think about how the people sort of saw me, or how okay, I was just sort of so focused on just doing a good job, and you know, just because I was just passionate about it.
Naturalism.
So. Yeah, naturalism.
Complete naturalism. That is good, though. That is good. And I'm aware that on a lot of journalism courses as well, does it involve sort of writing and reporting, essentially, not just presenting, but...
Yeah, no, you always have to sort of write the stories yourself. You have to make them readable. Because, like, you know, there's stuff that you write, and then there's when you read it, you're going to have to sort of change it so it flows more naturally. So it's like, for example, when we did do the news days, we were sort of tasked in the morning going around finding everyone's stories that the reporters had gotten and rewording them so that they'd flow nice when we read it. So, yeah. But, yeah, I would say I definitely prefer more of sort of the presenting side of it to the writing side of it. Mm. But that's just something good about my course, so how it covers all these areas so that, you know, you can improve on what you're bad at. And it's not just like you're doing one thing, you're really getting like a full experience of it, really.
Well, 6 months in for uni students now, you definitely sound like you're enjoying the course, which is a big positive because that's what you want to be doing. But how, I mean, I sort of asked before how you got into that line of work, and you say you like seeing yourself on camera, but... what are the overall ambitions though? Because it's a difficult industry.
It is. Overall ambitions, I don't see myself as being one of those people that sort of gets one job and then stays in it for the rest of their career.
Right.
I sort of feel like I'll jump from many different types of journalism. Like I wouldn't mind being a radio host at some point. I want to be a broadcaster. I also wouldn't mind doing something like a Graham Norton style TV That's, show.
Yeah, that is proper presenting that.
So like just sort of, yeah, it is definitely difficult to get into the industry. But so far I've managed to make some good steps to get into the industry. And I feel like if I'm just passionate about it and going for it, yeah, I should hopefully be all right.
Do they have a little radio station at UCLan?
Yeah, we are, at the moment we're doing radio bulletins. So we're sort of learning the skills on how to present the radio, you know, how to, which stories to put in which order, and how to like collect and input them all into the system and everything.
Right, nice. Well, that's obviously the course that you're doing. Those are the ambitions, and you've spoken to us about how you got into it. But I know that you wanted to speak just in general about sort of uni life, and this is probably relevant to a lot of people that are listening to this anyway, in terms of actually living at the uni and accommodation, or whether people commute. So just speak about the themes with that one.
Well, when you bring up commute, because I don't live like that far away from uni, it's like a 25-minute train ride. So I could easily, you know, commute every day. But what I've experienced at uni, sort of like how it's just like non-stop 24/7, really, it's like I couldn't imagine commuting, because the opportunities that I've had and sort of the experiences I've gained just all hours of the day, really. It really, because of sort of being on campus, you know, you're in this like area with your friends,
the full experience.
Yeah, the full experience. It really does. It really is like, it's a completely different experience. I feel like if you're commuting, you're more just focused on like the course, and then, you know, you go home after your thing. But like when you live there, you really do sort of, you have the whole life. And I would definitely recommend staying in the halls, even if you're like me, you know, and you don't live far away.
So talk to me about the actual people then, because I know for everybody it's a bit of a gamble with who you're going to end up with, and these are people that you spend, or you can spend, a lot of time with because you're living in the same area as them. So talk to me about them. You get along with your flatmates?
My flatmates, yeah, they're good, to be honest. I do get along with them. We don't really go out drinking or hanging out much together, but yeah. That, you know, we're all respectful to each other. We all like keep it clean. So I feel like I'm lucky after hearing what some people do go through with like terrible flatmates.
I mean, that is a big one, to be fair, keeping it clean.
Yeah. They really do a good job. And I'll miss them next year, to be fair.
Right, respect. So moving on with the topic of conversation, what actually made you choose UCLan? Because you talk about only living 25 minutes away on the train, but obviously UCLan must have stood out to you in some way for you to choose it.
This is actually a really interesting one. When I applied to unis, I applied to, I think, Bournemouth, Winchester, Leicester, UCLan and Leeds.
So it's just the whole
three,
country.
The first three I didn't want to go to, and I didn't even look around, because at the time, when I went to the Leeds Open Day, I was grasped, you know. I thought, oh, this looks incredible, you know.
Right.
I want to go here. And I thought, if I don't go there, UCLan has a really good journalism course, so it won't be too bad. So I'm not going to lie, I did originally want to go to the University of, I think it's the one, in the just University of Leeds. I think that's what it is. There's three in Leeds, isn't there? There's Beckett, Trinity, and yeah, Uni of Leeds. But sadly, I didn't make it in there. I got the grades, but sadly, they didn't want me.
I mean, that's just injustice, really. But what's interesting is, and this is the case for, I mean, we're young people. You're leaving home. You're going to live in different places around the country. Would you say for you personally that had any impact on where you were going to go to uni, or you were more than happy to just go down to Bournemouth? And...
I guess I've had a bit of experience, like, I mean, it's not most, but, you know, NCS, I mean, that's something, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
It didn't really cross my mind, honestly. I just thought, you know, I'd just go and, you know, I'd be pretty able to sustain myself. I didn't really think of leaving, going even 8 hours down south would have been like the biggest issue in the world. Maybe that's just me though, because I guess there's quite a few people that I know that like go home like every weekend, and you know, people do get homesick.
Yeah. So, but I mean, there's also those people that don't want to go home at all because the uni almost is like their home now. Yeah. And that's not disrespectful to the families, but it's like, you always come home for big celebrations and Christmas, etc. anyway, so it's not too much of an issue.
Yeah.
But obviously, UCLan stood out and the journalism course stood out, but what else is there that you do in terms of extracurricular courses, if there's anything available there? Are you a guy who gets involved?
So the good thing about my course is we're only in like 4 days a week, and at that, it's, I think, about 14 hours. So I have quite a lot of time outside. So we do a few sort of like projects outside of the classroom that's sort of a part of the course. Like we have our own podcast where we like sort of read books and then watch the film adaptation of it, and then sort of talk about the themes and the context behind it. I'm also the chair of the Flapjack Society.
Okay. And these are all just like extracurricular courses, yeah?
Yeah, just sort of stuff to do in spare time.
Just fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, well, respect. That is pretty big, the chair of the Flapjack Society. But yeah, no, it's good to hear that you've got different things going on outside of the course, and that is part of, I guess, the whole campus life and living on campus and not just dwindling away in your room, because that is depressing. And I think for me, that was one of the scariest things before I went to Salford. It was like you just want to be out and you want to be doing things, and it's a very social time of our life. So it's good to hear that you do have that social element. So obviously, being at UCLan, like you say, it's not that far away. But in terms of friends, there's people there that are coming from all over the country, quite literally. Some of them coming from all over the world. So how did you find it settling in, meeting people, becoming friends with them? Not just the flatmates, because obviously, like you said, you don't have to go out boozing with them. But how was it just making mates in general?
Well, in the first week up until like I think about the Friday, on my course we didn't really have like anything going on. So I honestly, apart from my flatmates, I didn't really know anyone. And I was like, it's just how it's gonna be. But then we had a team building exercise on the Friday where we had to get a train to Blackpool.
Right. Yes. Yes. We're coming from Blackpool once again this week, guys. Don't worry, we'll venture out.
And we went up the tower, and then they're all talking about like what to do in Blackpool, and I was like, oh, there's free Wetherspoons, and they're like, oh, should we have a Wetherspoons pub crawl?
Classic.
And then I guess things just sort of took off from there. It was a great way to sort of meet the people on my course, and then we all just became really good friends. And since then, I've only ever made more friends, and yeah, I feel like I've just met some incredible people.
Where
So.
were they from, those people?
Oh wow.
Because if they haven't been to Blackpool before, then what a treat.
We've got people from all over the place. People from down south, people from places like Liverpool, Chester, Birmingham, Cambridge.
Oh,
I've
wow.
even got a friend from Chicago
That's
in
pretty sick, to be
the
fair.
USA.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. And they came to Blackpool and were like, this is not it. No, I'm joking. I'm shitting on Blackpool too much. So overall, Samuel, as we move on from the uni talk, how would you rate your uni experience? Because this is relevant. It's a young person's podcast, so it's relevant. Because would you recommend people to go to uni? Obviously, it's their own choice, but what would you sort of rate it? How have you enjoyed it so far?
So far, I'd honestly say it's been like 9 or 10 out of 10. It's been an incredible experience. I never imagined it being like this good and this involving. And if you do think university's, for you and it's on your career path, I'd definitely say to take it, because it is an experience you're never gonna forget. And I feel like more people just need to experience uni life, because you also get a lot of skills from it. Like cooking, that's a really big one.
Yeah, living independently, that's yeah.
Yeah. And if you do go, one piece of advice I'll give you is just take every single opportunity you can at uni, because you never know where it's gonna go. And I've taken some opportunities, gone to great places. So I definitely just do everything you can.
That's actually just reminded me. My cousin's wife works at UCLan, and she said, I really just remember this. She said, "Oh, she was like, oh yeah, the best advice I can give is to just literally exactly what you just said, get involved with all the different clubs." I mean, did the UCLan actually advertise that they've got the clubs going on? Because I know a lot of people just don't even realize it's going on half the time.
Oh, but it's not. We have. They had like fairs in the first week where the clubs and societies were all like in a place, and you could walk
All
around
right,
and
yeah.
speak to them and everything. They have a website. I mean, they could always advertise more, but I mean, I don't. I mean, they advertise more. Quite a few like the sports ones get advertised a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, they could always, put more posters up, but quite a lot of it is down to the society itself to do that. So I guess there's only so much the uni can do to advertise the actual clubs and societies. It's more up to them as the individuals to outsource and outreach to people.
And just finishing with the course, you are on a 3-year course, right?
Yeah, 3 year course.
Okay, well, you've still got a couple of years left of what is seemingly going to be very joyous, so it's good to hear that you're enjoying it. So, Sam, back for the weekend, back from UCLan, as we've established. So, what would you say you're going to do this weekend? Because not only is it your first time back in few weeks, but your family as well. People's families, they miss their children. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I think the plan is to go and visit relatives tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of see how they're see how they're doing, and you know, see my parents tonight. Maybe see if they can get me a takeaway. Quite nice.
Oh wow! Fair enough. Just milk them for their money. Oh guys, I'm back home now. Get me a takeaway. Fair enough. No, I was just waiting for you to say something. No, but this is the thing. It's uni is split. I mean, look, when you're at uni, and this is what they said when, I mean, obviously I dropped out of Salford, but this is what they said. They said for some people, uni actually becomes their home. Because there was some professor that said one time in the past, they were like, oh, everybody thank your parents for paying for you to go to uni. And one of the teachers was like a bit pissed off because they were like, for some people, the student's paying for all of it. I mean, obviously, you can go to uni at any age anyway, but the student's paying for all of it. It's not the parents. They're not living at home, and the uni is now their home. But for us, obviously, we've been in a fortunate situation where, you know, we're with our parents, and your parents miss you when you go away. So coming away from the uni talk for a minute, obviously, you're back this weekend, and then I'm guessing that for the year, it ends in, what, June, May?
Yeah, June.
June. So, I mean, after that, you've got the whole summer. And surely the world's your oyster. You can be with your parents, be with your mates, get a longer summer. Any plans?
Yeah, I've signed up to teach English in Hong Kong for 6 weeks.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
Wait, this summer?
Yeah, this summer.
I'm surprised you haven't already said this.
I applied and got accepted, so I'm going off to Hong Kong, and then I'll be teaching kids English. Yeah, bit of a random side quest, I know, but...
That is actually sick, for 6 weeks, yeah?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
So you're leaving in what month?
I think it's July and August.
Damn.
I know, yeah.
What, is there going to be like a few of you there?
Yeah, it's like a big company in the uni. Because I originally thought I'd do that in the summer to trial... Because you can do, on my course, 4 years, you know, a year abroad.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, oh, I'll go away for 6 weeks, see how I cope, and then because 6 weeks, you know, I like to think that I'm pretty decent, you know, independent living, but like a whole year abroad, that's kind of crazy. That's crazy to me, at least, you know, like.
Well, it is, but I mean, that's the decisions that people our age sometimes make.
Exactly. So I just thought I'd see what 6 weeks feels to me, and then. I'll see where that takes me, I guess.
I mean, that is sound, though. So you're just going to be, like, stood at the front of the class. Did they speak any English, the students?
Yeah, Hong Kong. The guy that runs it, he spoke to me. He said he's lived in Hong Kong for 10 years. And he doesn't know any. He just knows English. Because that's how... Because of the past. Of
yeah, it. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I might learn a little bit, you know. But, yeah.
A little bit of what? Of Hong Kongese? I don't know. What is it?
It's Chinese, isn't it?
Oh, well, Mandarin.
Yeah, Mandarin Chinese.
Oh.
I think, yeah.
Right.
I believe so. Yeah, I might just learn a few phrases or something. But,
that is actually really cool.
Yeah.
That is probably the most baffling thing I've ever heard all week. Have you ever mentioned that before?
No.
We had a little secret in the inventory getting ready to pull out. Right, well, that is, I mean, I guess that's another reason to go UCLan, guys. The opportunity. But I mean, it's not just UCLan, it's other unions as well. You've got the opportunity to go to different places. I'm assuming it costs money.
Yeah.
It's not just all uni funded.
The uni's funded a bit, and then I have to pay about $2,000.
Oh, damn.
But the wage at the end of it's $2,000. So.
Yeah, wage as well. This is the best thing
it
I've ever.
It kind of pays for itself.
That is actually so good.
Yeah.
Right, respect. That is actually sound. I'm genuinely surprised by that. But. Once again, the experiences of being a uni student. So we're going to end the podcast now with a final thought. This could be about pretty much anything that you want, Sam. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but we've spoken about the uni. We've spoken about what you're doing in the near future. Bloody Hong Kong, that's sick. But spoken about experiences, spoken about your ambitions. What would your advice be mainly to people that are questioning whether they want to start uni, no matter how old they are, what would your advice be to them, and how excited are you for your future and for the future of the young generation?
Well, I'd say if you're thinking about it, Just do it, like, genuinely. It's an experience that I really feel like as many people need to have as they can, because it's just completely, it's just like your world's changed, you know. It's like you're living a double life, you know.
Yeah,
you got your home life and then you've got uni life. So yeah, really, just go for it.
Yeah, and in terms of how excited you are for our generation, but I mean, how excited you are for yourself, but our generation is, you know, the first time in history really where we've got more young people than ever. It's the first time in history where we've got social media and all these things. So it's a very different world to what it was a few decades ago. So there's a lot to be excited about our generation. But how excited are you for yourself as well?
I'm excited that the industry I'm going into, it's, you know, it's forever changing, and it's becoming like some of the jobs that we're learning, you know, it didn't exist 20 years ago. Mm. You know, and I think it's really exciting to see how technology improvements and everything will sort of help shape sort of journalism in the future for me, and not just journalism, just jobs around the globe, really.
That is relevant, and that is also going to bring me on to this point as well, because I thought of it whilst we were talking. AI.
Oh, here we go.
So you talk about journalism, and that is one of the top things that could be affected by AI. So is that, it's good to be excited, but are you not a little bit scared, essentially?
A thing that I think about AI is that it is useful in some elements of, like, breaking up, like, some of the sort of more monotonous sort of, like, admin-y tasks, I guess.
Yeah.
And, for example, I'm on an internship at the moment at a newspaper company, and my boss is always on about, you know, if I want to use AI to sort of help write, like, meta descriptions on websites, then I can, but the way I see it is I'd rather, like, learn the skills first so that I know how to do it than just sort of rely on AI. Because, I mean, it has a place, don't get me wrong, but I think it's more important to sort of understand how to do it at the forefront before you just sort of use AI as a crutch. And
that's a very mature thing to say, that, to be fair.
Going into the future, I definitely think that AI is going to be, it's only going to improve.
Yeah.
It's a little bit worrying, but at the same time, I feel like it puts more emphasis on, like, proper, true journalism, you know. And I mean, throughout time, you know, technology has always changed. It's always impacted everything, really. You know, jobs have become redundant. I guess it's just the circle of life, really.
Yeah, circle of technology. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, Sam. It's been a good episode here on the Moving Forward podcast, episode 2, of course. We looked at the episode from the first week with my friend Cody Ketterick, and the overall aim of the podcast is to just make it as naturalistic as possible. Obviously, the first week was short and experimental, but we're going to get better every single week. Hopefully, the audio quality was just as good, if not better, this week as well. But thank you, Sam, and thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week with another guest.